Well, good morning, everyone. Good to have each and every one of you. We're encouraged by your presence. We're blessed by your presence. We're very thankful that you are here. We want you to know that you are welcome here and that you are welcome back at any time you have the opportunity. You know, the majority of us do have very busy lives. And some of us, many of us, have a schedule. And on that schedule or on that calendar, we'll write down those appointments that we have. Whether it's a doctor's appointment, a wedding, or something that's coming up in the calendar that, you know what, we just can't miss. But the thing about some appointments is some appointments are shifted. Some appointments are canceled. Some appointments need to be moved. But some appointments we have little control over. You know, there's certain jokes that are out there, like that person would be late for their own wedding. You know, there's some appointments that are more important than others, but what I would suggest to you this morning is there are some appointments that you can't miss. Some appointments that actually you're not going to be given the option to miss. And what I would like to do is reflect on two of those appointments this morning and listen to the Bible and what it has to say about these appointments that cannot be avoided. Those two appointments we find in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after the judgment." You know, lessons typically have 3 points. I'm going to change that a little bit today, as I'm just going to go with 2 points. There in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it talks about two things that are appointed, two things that I suggest that we cannot avoid, two things that are certain, two things that are guaranteed. It says it is appointed for man to die once, but after the judgment. Let's focus on that first one for just a little while this morning. It is appointed for us to die once. When we're talking about death here, certainly I think we think about a physical death. And when I think about physical death, I think about our physical body. Our physical bodies are beautiful and wonderful things. In Psalm 139 and verse 14, it says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." You think of the human body, it is an amazing thing. If you think about a house is really an amazing thing. If you walked up on a house or a cabin in the woods, I don't think your conclusion would be, you know what, this happened after millions of years. You know, after millions of years, we got the footers, and after a few more million years, we got the walls, and after a few more million years, we got the electric, and then a few more million years, we got the plumbing. We would never think that. But yet, that's what many people try to tell us about our human body. Our human body have far more design and function far better many times than our home. But surely we look at our homes and we say there's design there, and when we look at the human body and the physical container which we have, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And our body is amazing. We think of the functions. If you were going to compare your body to a house has windows. We have windows. You know, a house has electric. We kind of have electric, you know, the electric system that gives us kind of energy. You know, you think of plumbing even. And you think of all those things. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "For every house is built by someone, but he who has built all things is God. God has built our bodies, and our bodies are amazing, but there's one thing that we need to know about our bodies, is that our bodies are not designed for the long haul. This physical body that we have, this physical container that we have that carries our spirit, carries our mind, carries our soul, was not designed to go forever. It is an amazing thing. It is a beautiful thing. When we look at man and we look at woman and we look at man and woman coming together, beautifully designed, beautifully made, but there is one thing that the Bible tries to get across to us is that our bodies will not last forever. It is just a temporary holding of more important things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Our body surely is a temporary thing. And that is something that I think we cannot lose sight of as we go throughout this life. It's not that we don't take care of ourselves. It's not that we're not cautious. But we need to understand the end point. It doesn't matter how well you take care of yourself. It doesn't matter how many workouts you do, how many runs you go on, how well you eat. Certainly those things can help. And certainly you wouldn't discourage trying to take care of yourself. But eventually, you know what the end game is for all of us? Is we wear out and our bodies are gone. We have a picture of that aging process in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're not going to read all of that, but it starts talking about the body and how it's wearing down. And it used some figurative language, and it talks about basically, you're not going to be able to see at some point. And we see that as we age, our vision fails. And it talks about in that passage, it says that you can't hear things basically as you once could. You start to lose your hearing. You start to fear things that you used to not fear, like high places or ledges. Because if you fall, you know the cost that it's going to have on your body. Certainly, we are faced with the aging process day by day. We're in a battle that we're going to lose. And the sooner I think that we acknowledge that our physical body is temporary, the physical body is going to be lost, that we are going to die, I think what it does is it really helps us to direct our lives and direct our choices in a more spiritual way. Because if the physical cannot last, should I focus more on the physical or the spiritual? Because I know the spiritual, the Bible says, will last forever. The physical is passing away. You know, in sports many times they say, Father Time is undefeated. When we look at these athletes that are so good at their craft, so good at playing sports and doing these things, these physical feats, really quite amazing. Eventually, what happens? Their bodies wear down. David said, Psalm 37, verse 25, he says, I have been young, and now I am old. It is coming to all of us. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Are we focused on the outward man, or are we focused on the inward man? It's not that we can't have a focus on the outward man, but an understanding, a realization that this body is passing away. Our body just being a container, it will not be the same, it will not last, can certainly help us in the perspective of our lives. You're only going to be here so long. Certainly when we look to those people of old, we look to the Old Testament, these individuals did live longer. But it's interesting how they talk about their lives. In Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9, Jacob is talking to Pharaoh. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And they have not obtained the days and years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. Jacob is talking with Pharaoh, and he's talking about his life as a pilgrimage. This idea of kind of a temporary thing, but we see that he shares his age, 130 years. But what I find interesting is what he says about his 130 years. What does he say? He says, my pilgrimage has been 130 years. Few and evil have been the days and years of my life. You know, if we got 130 years, we might look at that. You know, we would be happy with that. But how does he describe his years? He says, few. This is not the only place in the Bible where people that are living to be older than ourselves, typically on average, say that. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You start to think about that idea. You start to think about this appointment that you have. You have an appointment of your body wearing out. And the thing about that is you don't know 100% when your body is going to wear out. You know, it's kind of like the tractor on the farm. If you were working with it yesterday, you go out in the field, next thing something happens to it. What happened? I don't know. Our physical bodies are sometimes very similar. Sometimes our physical bodies are unpredictable. Sometimes they give out at unpredictable times. You know, I reflect on myself. A few months ago, I hurt my shoulder, and I have never hurt my shoulder quite like that before. It took me almost 2 months. Never have I had an injury that did that. And all the older people are looking at me and they're just like, you just wait. You just wait. It's going to take longer and longer. You're going to be sore and sore and all these things are happening. We are all face to face with the aging process. Our physical bodies are not meant to last forever. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength they are 80. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The Bible gives us a ballpark of ages to be expected. It says the days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength, 80 years. Are there people that live beyond? Certainly. Are there people that die younger? Certainly. But the Bible does, I think, in Psalm 90 and verse 10, give us a ballpark. 70 to 80 years. But when you read that passage and you think about it, it says, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. How short this life is. And to keep that in perspective throughout our lives, I think, can help keep our priorities in order. In fact, when you continue through Psalms 90, it talks about this idea of 70 and 80 years, and it continues on. It says, soon it'll be cut off, and you'll fly away. You get down to verse 12, and it says, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I think that's a question for us today. Are you numbering your days? The Bible does not give us a promise when it comes to our age. We know people die very young, and we know some that die very old. We are not promised tomorrow. It's not a promise that the Bible gives. Now, the Bible does establish some promises, and we should certainly cling to those promises, but in terms of our age, the terms of the years of our physical body, we are not promised a certain amount. But here we are given a ballpark. And I think the Bible is not trying to be discouraging, but really encouraging you to think about the reality that you're in, is that you are only going to be here for a set amount of time. How should we utilize our days? How should we utilize the time? Should we cherish it, or should we waste it? Certainly we think about so many Bible passages that come to mind. In James chapter 4 and verse 14 it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Do you remember graduating high school? Do you remember your wedding day? Do you remember your first house? Do you remember your first child? Seems like yesterday. Seems to go so fast. It's like the blink of an eye. And we try to listen to the older generation as they try to tell us, you know, because they all know that. As they approach the end of their life, they say, just like yesterday, it seems like I was there. And really, the verse that we see in James chapter 4 and verse 14 really hits home. Our life is but a vapor. We are not here forever. Make the most of our days. You know, we all have struggles throughout our life. And I think sometimes it can be helpful when we think of the duration of our life, is that we don't have to live here on this earth forever. Certainly there are pulls to this earth. Certainly our friends, our family, our loved ones are pulled to this earth. I think Paul certainly thought about that and contemplated that. But certainly as Christians, we have a hope of a life beyond, a life of an eternity with our Father in heaven. We're not told how long we'll live, but God, in Psalm 90, kind of gives us a ballpark, 70 to 80 years. And in that same passage, it kind of has that core idea there. Are you numbering your days? Are you thinking about the days of your life? Are you thinking about how short life is? Because if we think about such things, I think it helps us. God does not tell you, like a doctor might sometimes, you have 3 years to live. God does not tell you that you have 2 years to live. A doctor sometimes in those situations will say, we expect this person to go on for 6 months. You're not going to get that from God. What you're going to get from God is He says, hey, here's a ballpark of how old people live in general. But also, always be prepared. Always be ready. You know, when you think of the shortness of life and you reflect on it, each holiday that you have is special. When you think about the shortness of life, it's amazing how life just tastes a little bit sweeter. It's amazing when you think about the shortness of life, how hugs can feel a little bit warmer. It's amazing when we think about the shortness of life, how we can be more kind to the people that are around us. It's amazing when we think about the shortness of life, how forgiving we can be when we think about the short time that we have. Steve Jobs, certainly not a perfect person by any means, but the head of the company of Apple for a while, he has a few quotes about death, but that he has one that I've always kind of gravitated towards. He says, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've encountered to help me make big choices in my life." You know, I always thought about that. I think that's really a powerful dynamic of the Bible. The Bible is telling you that you will not live forever, that your body is going to wear out, that we are eventually going to go on to another life. But he said, "Remembering that I will be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life." If you were going to live just one more day, what would you do? If you were going to live for another 6 months, what would you do? If you were going to live for another year or 5 years or 10 years, what would you do? And for me, I've always tried to live with the same answer, is that I'll do the best I can each and every day. Because we don't know what day might be our last. You know, sometimes people think that this is a gloomy topic when you talk about the shortness of life, but really, in the perspective of a Christian, we should be eagerly waiting for the Lord to come back, eagerly waiting to go to our home. But I don't want this to be gloomy in the sense life is a beautiful thing many times because it is short. Because it is short, a lot of times, hopefully, we don't take things for granted. Because whenever we get in that perspective of shortness, I really think that we don't take things for granted. When you think of the shortness of life, your perspective changes. And like I said, I think that life can be a little bit sweeter, hugs can feel a little warmer. We appreciate every single moment we have with our loved ones when you have the shortness of life in mind. There are so many blessings of life. There are so many good times of life. And so many times in life we can be overtook by the fast-paced world and so many things that when we focus on the shortness of life, we can really cherish the blessings. Are you thankful for your body and thankful for your health? You know, if you have your health, you're really a millionaire in really many respects. What a blessing it is to have your health. And whenever we get sick or whenever we go through an injury or whenever something happens, it really changes our perspective, and we think back on those times that we were healthy. But what a blessing it is to be healthy, to have the health to work, to have the health to be with one another. What a blessing. You know, I think of the blessing of a family. I think of the blessing of a spouse. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Not only do I think of family, not only do I think of health, but I also think of children. In Genesis chapter 33 and verse 5, Jacob is going to go see his brother Esau, and Jacob is afraid about how his brother is going to respond. But Esau actually responds pretty kindly in this situation, but in Genesis chapter 33 and verse 5, it says, "And he lifted his eyes and saw women and children and said, 'Who are these with you?'" This is Esau speaking. Jacob is coming and he sees all these women and all these children that are coming. And Esau says, "Who are these that are with you?" And Jacob says, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." You know, what a blessing of children. What a blessing of grandchildren. What a blessing of great grandchildren. I always found it interesting that Joseph actually is going to say the same thing to his dad in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 9. Is that Jacob's coming to the end of his life. Israel is coming to the end of his life. And he's bringing the family in to bless them. And in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 9, it says, Joseph says, "They are my sons, whom God has given me." You know, you think of the blessings of life. just because life is short doesn't mean it's not a beautiful, wonderful thing. When we think about our health, when we think about our family, when we think about our spouse, when we think about our children, when we think about our friends, when we think about our experiences, when we think about our good memories, when we think about those happy times, when we think about laughter, certainly life is filled with blessings. I've said before something that I heard from an individual one time, and it kind of stuck with me, is you can live a long time on good memories. How God has blessed us in our lives. How God has blessed us with the people that are around us. Just because life is short doesn't mean it is not a beautiful and wonderful thing given to us by God. Certainly something that we should focus upon. So what's the answer? You know, life is short. So how should we handle it? We should cherish each and every day. We should look out for one another and those that we love and do the best we can. But certainly I think there is a good summary when we get to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What should we do with this short life that we have? What should we do with the moments that we have? And I think we see the goal of life in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Sometimes people ask that question and they feel like they're asking some big philosophical question. I guess it is for some people. But sometimes people ask that question, what is life all about? What is the purpose of life? And sometimes people hesitate. I don't see any hesitation from Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. After he reflects on his life, he reflects on so many experiences. We get to the end in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and following. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Solomon kind of gives us the goal of life and the summary of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. And as we live life and we fear God and keep his commandments, we can have a good life. We can have a good life with our health. We can have a good life with our family. We can have a good life with our spouse. We can have a good life with our friends. We can have a good life as we travel on this physical road. But certainly, when we think of the shortness of life, we realize that our physical bodies are deteriorating and leaving. Certainly, the goal of life is to fear God and keep his commandments. I always found it interesting. Solomon doesn't really cut any corners. He really just strikes at the heart of the matter. Life is about living a God-centered life. And by living a God-centered life, it can be a very blessed life. A life full of happiness, a life filled with joy, a life filled of good memories, a life filled with laughs as we try to serve God to the best of our ability. But in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it talks about the idea that it is appointed once for man to die, but then we have another appointment that we're not going to miss, the judgment. So we'll spend our next few moments reflecting on the judgment. You know, when the judgment comes, the second coming, it's not going to be a secret, and it's not going to be hidden. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. When the Lord comes, when the judgment process is starting, when the end has come, it will not be hidden and it will not be a secret. And though many try to avoid the fact and many try to think of things that they might say or they try to put it out of their minds, it's an appointment that none of us are going to miss. You're not going to miss the appointment of your body being gone. Now here it talks about those that are alive are going to be called up, but we see in the Holy Scriptures that God is going to give us a new body. So something is going to happen to this old body, even if we're alive when God comes back. This container that we have, our physical element of ourselves, is going to be gone. And our spirit is what will be left. It is not going to be a secret. In John chapter 5 and verse 25 says, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. It says the dead are going to hear the voice. Everybody is going to know. It says we have this idea of a trumpet. We have this idea of a shout. We have the voice of the archangel. It's not going to be a secret. When the end is here, it is going to be audible and it is going to be visible. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Every eye will see him. There will be no secret when the Lord returns. So the question is when the judgment comes, when the end comes, what will we be judged by? The interesting thing about this is I think Jesus tries to be very forward with this, as forward as he can be. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge in the last day." It's not a secret what's going to be at the judgment. What is going to be at the judgment? The word of Jesus. "He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." My words will not be judging on the last day. No man's words, in terms of a man that's not Jesus Christ, we know that God and man, but no man's words will be judging on that day. Government's words will not be judging on that day. Religious elites, their words will not be judging on that day. The words of the Bible, the words of Jesus Christ. I think the question is for ourselves is how well do we know those words? And as I go throughout my life, I come to the realization day by day, I can always know the word a little bit better. But I think that is a question for us today. We know that our physical bodies have a time on them. We know that they are wearing down. We know that it's appointed for us to die. And we know the judgment is coming. It's not something we can avoid. It's not something that we can get around. It's not something that we can cancel. It's not something that we can reschedule. It's something that's coming. It's something that's guaranteed. And if we know it's coming, then are we preparing ourselves? Do you know the words of the Bible? Do you know the words of Jesus? You know, I teach some college classes. And I'm not trying to trick anyone. "What's going to be on the exam, Mr. Lancaster?" "What's in the book?" I really try not to trick them at all. I'm not trying to play gotcha. That's not my job. In fact, as a teacher, what is our job? Our job is to take them from a place without knowledge to a place with knowledge. I wish that all of my students got 100% on the final. I really do. That's my goal. And actually, I think it reflects on you somewhat as a teacher. If the goal is to take the student without knowledge and get them to the knowledge, I want every student that goes through my class to have 100%. Now, will it happen? Probably not. But how well do you know the book? How well do you know the words of Jesus that will be judging you? It's unavoidable. We can't reschedule. And the Bible really gives us a picture of always being prepared. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by things which were written in the book." In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it really gives this theme here. Let me try to read that beginning again and try to have this theme. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God." It's unavoidable. It's something that you can't miss. You're not going to have a choice. You're not going to have a chance to reschedule. You're not going to say, "Not today. I'll push it off till later." Is that day is coming. "I saw the dead, small and great, no one is exempt, standing before God. The books were opened, the words of God proclaimed." You know, when it comes to appointments in our lives, when we have to cancel something or we have to reschedule, a lot of times we try to come up with excuses. And I think that we will see excuses on that day. If people will come up with excuses from left field, they'll try to come up with excuses from right field. They'll try to explain their way out of not being prepared for the judgment. And I don't think it'll work. You know, many people walk around the religious world today and they say, we can't find the truth. It's kind of very similar to what Pilate says. Pilate's in that situation where he's got Jesus before him, and Pilate is struggling with this because he's really not finding any issue with Jesus, and it seems like he's frustrated. That's my opinion when he says this, but you might come to a different conclusion when you read the passage. But in John chapter 18 and verse 38, it says, Pilate says, what is truth? I think Pilate is frustrated with the situation. He doesn't see any issue with Jesus, but he's got to go out to this crowd that's got an issue with Jesus. And right after he says that, he walks out and he says, I don't find any fault with the man. And how do they respond? they still want Jesus badly. They still want him to be crucified. But Pilate says that. What is truth? I think on Judgment Day, people are trying to say that. What is truth? Can I find the truth? And in John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. The truth is here. It's not a man. It's not a man. It's not me. It's the words of God. Just like it says in John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus speaking says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges sin. The words which I have spoken will judge in the last day. You know, we think about these appointments. And I think it's good for us to think about these appointments. Certainly there are blessings of life. Certainly we reflect on the shortness of life. But I think that we realize there's a responsibility of life. And whenever there's a responsibility, there's an accountability. So we have the blessings of life, short as it may be. We have the blessings of it, and there's a responsibility of life. And the responsibility of life is to serve God the best of our ability. And certainly if there's a responsibility of life, there's an accountability of life, and we see that in the Scriptures. There are some appointments that you cannot get out of. There's some appointments that you cannot avoid. And there's some appointments in the Bible that God says you cannot miss. You are not going to miss the physical death. The disposable body that we have will be gone. You are not going to miss the judgment. The question is are you ready? Are you ready? You know, we reflect on these things, and they're thought to be solemn. But really, when we look at them, it's a hard line, because really, when we look at it, we look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, we really see a reality that God is trying to put forward to us. And it's a reality that if we accept, I think we can actually have a very rich, rewarding, joyful, and happy life. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can if you come as we stand and as we sing.